Welcome to the Paranormal X Hour with me, Dr. John DeSalvo, and my wonderful co-host, Seraphine Hurley, and we thank you for listening today and hope you enjoy our program. You are listening to us on FM Radio 107.7 New Orleans, United Public Radio Networks, and we're also broadcasting on many other outlets. And if you pull us up on YouTube, you can see us live video also. So you have the option of both audio and video. And you could go to the uprntalkradio.com website and listen to us live there. And also many past programs, archives of our show and others. Wonderful website. So check it out, uprntalkradio.com. And we don't have a guest tonight. But Seraphine and I, we're not sure what the heck we're going to talk about. I guess the social media and the paranormal and maybe what else comes to mind. Before we get into that, got any questions? Anything you want to talk about? I like your hair.
Oh, thank you. You look good. Black.
Yep.
Thank you.
You got any questions for me?
So where did the pyramids come from? Behind you.
It's the mafia. You mean the pyramid schemes where you put the money in? Oh, no, you mean the pyramids in Giza?
No, the pyramid behind you.
This one?
Yeah.
This is when I worked with the Russian and Ukrainian researchers for 8 years, and they gave me their 15 years of secret research and studies based on large pyramids, which they built like 144 feet high, cost them $1 million, and they built about 18 of them, and they did research all over in Russia and the Ukraine and other areas in the Soviet Union, and that was on Alexander Galit, who was director of the Russian state enterprise, who financed and sponsored, he was a scientist, the research, which was also sponsored by the Russian National Academy of Sciences, and that was a gift from him, and he said they were secret ingredients and chemicals that made the small pyramid act like the 144-meter pyramid. And I had it buried for about 10 years in my garage, and I just found it. And I thought, well, I'm going to incorporate it into my background. So that was like a really nice gift from him. And I was their spokesperson. We formed a partnership, the first research pyramid partnership between Russia and the U.S. We called it the International Partnership for Pyramid Research. And we also did a live show from Moscow with actually Alexander Galit's son Anatoly, because Alexander Galit does not speak English, so it was very interesting. I also worked with the Ukrainians, and so that's where that pyramid came from. Interesting. That's what you're gonna ask me about, where the Giza pyramids came from, which nobody knows. But I do think they predate Egypt. Don't tell Zahi that. He won't let me into his country.
You mean Dr. Hiwass?
Yeah. I sure as hell ain't making any comments about that. But anyway. You see, here's the problem. And any person with half an ounce of brains would see this. You're a historian. You go to Egypt and you look at all the pyramids.
There's a lot of sand.
All of them, right?
Yeah.
You see the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid sticks out like a thumb. It has an incredible interior chambers, passageways, and no other pyramid comes near it. And so we think, but many in my research group, that the pyramids predated the Egyptians, the Great Pyramid predated the Egyptian civilization. So when the Egyptian civilization rose and whatever, they tried to imitate it. And that's why you see the pyramids all at a lesser quality than the Great Pyramid. And that's a problem when they try to put it into the fourth dynasty of Khufu. It just doesn't fit. And there have been allegedly some inscriptions found, and the question is, were they added later, and you know, I'm not going to get into that. But so the problem is, the Egyptians, especially Zahi, does not like the idea that their heritage didn't build the pyramids, that it was them, the Egyptians. So when you try to say it may have been a pre-culture to the Egyptians, they don't like that, you know? So that's one of the problems. And to be, you know, and unless more is discovered about the Great Pyramid, maybe ancient papyrus, you know, there's those hidden shafts. If you go, there were like shafts going out from outside the pyramid into both the queen and the king's chamber. And in the queen's chamber, they don't exit, but they end at a sealed door with two handles. And they had a robot, as many people listening who followed, to drill a hole through the door. And there was another set of doors on the other side. We're talking about a shaft, you know, really small like this, okay? So they had to use a miniature robot to go up there. Many saw that on the on TV, oh God, decades ago. But the thing is, there still may be secrets inside the pyramid that we haven't discovered and may give us some idea of who actually built it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once told me they think the pyramids was, oh, and what's the purpose of the pyramids? I don't think anybody knows. It's like every theory from, you know, time travel. That's what actually Joe Parr thought, time travel to ritual, to a monument to hide historical information. Once when I was on Coast to Coast, a caller called in and said he thought the Great Pyramid was built as a still to make wine and beer. Yeah, I'm serious, because of all the, you know, shafts and chambers. And
comes on down to Great Pyramid Eatery.
Yeah, pub, well,
pub and brew.
Well, there's some actually. Yeah, I mean, I remember the host said to me, so John, do you think the pyramids are still? And I really did say this. I said, well, there may be some, you know, credence for this, because over the entrance, it said you must be 21 years of age to enter in hieroglyphics. So such a wise ass, right? I haven't changed.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, well, thanks for asking me about it. That's one of the highlights of my life, you know, being director of the Great Pyramid of Giza Research Association. And we're still together, GizaPyramid.com. And you can also see the Russian research, get a pyramid tour. You know, this, I think we did a partial show on it once, but for those that are interested, they may want to find that in the archives, you know, our show on the pyramids and listen to that. So you didn't talk about horror movies, huh? On your last?
No.
That was my, remember, I was giving you suggestions and I said, horror movies.
Yeah. Well,
let me, go ahead. What'd you talk about? Yeah.
I was going to talk about that, but I decided to save that for a time that I could have more time to do work on that. I already had the ground laid for the reliquary. So, and I talked about, you know, St. Catherine and
Sienna, her, yeah.
And her invisible ring that nobody can find.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Well, that's my addiction, as you know, is relics and reliquaries. I live for those things. But and also I enjoy studying the saints, because the church did a great job on that. They'll take a saint and they'll exhume them, and then, you know, one cathedral wants a relic of the saint, another one wants the relic, and you got seven cathedrals, so they take and chop up the body and send it all over the world. It was kind of really funny. Well, here's the head of John the Baptist, and here's his feet. You know, well, anyway, they don't have his body, but it's kind of funny, because you have to have a relic, by the first class relic, actually, to build a church. I don't know if you knew this, a Catholic church.
Yeah.
And usually the relics are in the altar. I saw on eBay when somebody was selling an altar with relics in it, but they didn't know what relic it was. So I guess you had to chop up the altar and marble, you know, to get the relic. I'd probably do that. I'd want to know what relic it is.
Wow. You know? Wouldn't there be paperwork somewhere saying what it was?
You know, I got relics from the 1600s, and by then the paperwork is gone, but you're exactly right. Modern, most of my relics that are modern have paperwork, and they're actually, gee, I wish I had one here, but the back of the relics are stamped with a wax seal and string to show that they were not broken, and they come with big, big papers signed by the archbishop or the curator saying what it is, like, this is a first class relic of the blood of Padre Pia, like I have, you know, one of those mm-hmm. or piece of the True Cross. They say if you have all the relics of the True Cross, you could build a navy. Hey, it was good business in the Middle Ages, right?
Nice.
So, anyway. Mm. What was last night? The Golden Globes, right?
I guess so. I don't have regular TV, so I don't know.
So, maybe I'll talk about one movie since you didn't on your show. Thanks for listening to my suggestion.
I still could possibly use that suggestion. I just chose to not.
Well, the one thing I'll bring up, the most interesting thing of all movies that I can comment on is, well, we can do a show like that together too. That'd be fun, you know, is that The Exorcist. I may have mentioned that before, which was one of my favorite movies. It scared the hell out of everybody when it came out. When I was at Hopkins, I went to Georgetown to see it, where it supposedly took place, but it actually had to do with a boy, not a girl. They changed it around in a location. It was in St. Louis. But the producer, in order to make it realistic, when Linda Blair would scream and yell, he would superimpose on that actual audio recordings of real exorcisms from Rome of the demon screaming. Now, a lot of people don't know that. And when I used to talk to people who watched the movie, they would say, boy, that kind of bothered me for weeks or days or whatever. But other horror movies didn't. And I just wonder if that had something to do with it, that the real screaming of the demon superimposed on, you know, her screams somehow psychically, who knows, through the astral world or whatever, affected people. Interesting.
Did you know that that movie is purportedly cursed?
Is purported to be what?
Cursed.
I'm not sure. I knew one of the producers on it, and I heard that they wanted to, they were doing some rituals to bring up some dark forces. And I can't say that for sure. If that's the case, then maybe. Tell me what you know about that.
No, the film itself, the bringing forth of the carving and the mentioning of the wind god and the all the other the stuff that went along with it, that a lot of strange happenings and stuff that actually happened during the film that we could actually go through and talk about. People that not only have died under unusual circumstances, but people, things that happened on the set when they were actually filming the movie, that they say that the film itself is cursed.
Interesting. Well, I wouldn't doubt it because, I mean, as you know, I studied exorcism and I believe it's real and they're real demons. And if they're starting to import demon sounds and whatever into a movie, and try to, whether through ritual or whatever, raise things up to infiltrate the movie, it could very well be possible. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary, isn't it? But it's funny because you talk to people with even who watched horror movies even worse than that, and they don't usually have that feeling that lasted, you know, several weeks. And so, like the Blair Witch Project was all a joke, but the producers would actually change things to kind of spook out the actors so they thought it was real, you know, that kind
have
of.
Have you been to those woods?
No.
I have.
Yeah, what'd you feel like?
I wouldn't stay the night there again. There's all kinds of stuff in those woods, and it has nothing to do with the Blair Witch Project. There's all kinds of lore from that whole area, but besides, don't discount the fact of Native American lore and, I don't know, a little skirmish we called the Civil War happening around that whole area.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that it could be. I never heard that about that area. That's interesting. But the thing, though, you can go, well, maybe in the north, but almost any place in the United States and probably find thousands of areas that either, you know, Native Americans suffered tragedy or the Civil War, like supposedly one of the 10 top cursed objects in the world. Almost every list has this. is a rock from Little Round Top from Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have taken rocks from the Gettysburg Memorial Park, there's like a $100 fine if they catch you.
Mm-hmm.
But people do it anyway. I can't imagine how many have been taken over the years. People have sent them back and mm-hmm. say they just had a string of bad luck. And so I have an opportunity. Somebody was willing to give me one, and I turned it down because I thought, I'm not sure if I believe it because, you know, people are superstitious, but, you know, why take a chance? But again, that was the most bloodiest part of the whole, you know, the 3-day battle at Gettysburg. So very, very interesting, you know. So that was just one thing I wanted to bring up is that when you start messing with these paranormal forces and different things, you don't know what you're going to deal with. And it's dangerous. It's not a joke. What maybe brings us to social media is that I got a lot of problems with social media. I spend too much time on it is one problem. Okay. But I feel I help a lot of people and I enjoy it. And it's my outlet for teaching. I was a professor most of my life and now I'm retired and I don't have a classroom. I don't do that many lectures, but the social media is my classroom in a sense. And that's why I got a lot of followers. And those listening, if you just want to be friends of mine, just go to John DeSalvo, not Dr. John, just John DeSalvo on Facebook and search for me. And I have my sunglasses 007 and, you know, you can't miss me and send me a friend invite and please mention you know, you listen to us on the show and I'll accept you. But the problem is people, maybe the bottom line, Seraphine, if you agree with me, make believe is okay. In fact, isn't make believe healthy and helpful when you grow up? But when make-believe starts to fall into reality, that you mm-hmm. think it's real, that's where the problems come in.
Yeah, definitely where you have too many people like exacerbating the certain things that I believe that I'm a fairy and then go and jump off a roof. That's going a little far.
Yeah, and you know, my son is one of the top gamers and the thing is, and he plays it and he loves it, but he knows that's fake. It's not real mm-hmm. and he can switch gears. So it's healthy and it actually mm-hmm. helps relieve stress. And I'm not good at it. I used to like the older games. I was a pinball wizard. So, you know, that in a mm-hmm. sense, you know, I used to, in graduate school, that was our spare time playing pinball. But the problem on social media is again, besides spending too much time and I'm guilty of that, is that, I think the problem is with people being lonely, feel left out, want to feel powerful. And some of the groups, some of the societies, some of the whatever, and they make them feel like they're part of something that isn't really real. And people fall for that. And I used to teach, I had one of the top cult experts in the world. It was actually number seven, the seventh top cult expert in the world. I flew him in from Chicago. He used to be a cop there. And he was going around the country giving lectures. And I never forgot this. He told me, and he was showing the class videos of how cults recruit. And he said, like, they'll see a guy sitting on a bench or something, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. We used to call them bums. Now, I don't know what they're called. But, you know, in those days, you know, sitting there alone, having nobody, and mm-hmm. one of their cult members, usually many times a pretty lady, obviously, you know, if it's a guy or whatever, would go over and sit next to him and start talking. And mm-hmm. he would maybe say, you know, I used to have a job and I lost it and my wife left me and I have nobody and I'm whatever. And they would talk to him for a while and they'd say, you know, I really care about you and this and that. When you think mm-hmm. about it, here's some stranger doesn't even know about this person and says, I really care about you. And the whole class laughed like, yeah, the guy obviously didn't believe that. And he said, yeah, he said, when you're alone like that and somebody says that, you have no idea how good that feels. So that is a big draw of the cults is the idea of family of, oh, we're going to help you. You're part of our brotherhood. And now a lot of groups I was a Rotarian. I was Knights of Columbus, highest degree. Mm-hmm. You know, these are groups that are different because they're not after your money, your soul, your empower to kind of control you. A lot of cults not only are interested in people for money, but to control. It's an ego thing. Mm-hmm. And so with the social media, especially the young people, you got to warn them to be careful. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if you can join a historical group, a scientific group, a group on poetry. There are many different really good meeting grounds on Facebook. I have a Templar group, and we pray for people. You know, we have posts about Templars and their history, but we don't charge anything. We don't really, we don't have this thing of big leadership or usually the cults also focus around a cult leader, somebody who supposedly has special abilities and qualities. And again, most of it, in my opinion, those kind of things are make believe, and the people fall for it, and they could be dangerous depending mm-hmm. on the degree people get into it. So that's just a warning. Or even just meeting a friend on Facebook, somebody befriending you, that who's fake, and they try to come on to you, and who knows what they want from you, and it's dangerous. And then say you mm-hmm. meet them and you get a bad experience. So I don't want to scare people, because like I said, I love Facebook. I feel I use it right. I use it to help people. I use it to teach, but you have to be selective. And don't accept somebody you don't think is real. I want to let you get something. And what do you agree with most of that? Or
I was going to say 3/4 of the people on Facebook are not real. You know how many sock puppet profiles I delete every day?
I believe it. I knew one lady told me she had 5 profiles,
That people are like, they have so many of these profiles. I have a profile. I have a profile for each social media, just one. And I don't understand how people can go through and have multiple this and multiple that and how much time it takes. But when you're talking about realistic and this and that, and you have people who, lure younger people into thinking that they can do magic, or thinking that they can do, they can talk to spirits, or if you take this class, you're going to prosper yourself. And for only like $50 a month, I'm going to teach you how to do what I do. It's like, you don't get to where we are through paying some schmuck $50 of your hard-earned money. This is all book work. This is all science. This is all working your butt off through trial and error. You don't have somebody hand you it for $50 a month and then all boom, you've got it. That's just not how it works.
Yeah. Well, my cult's only $49.95 and no salesman will call.
I think I already have a t-shirt.
But you're exactly right. And by the way, money is usually not the number one motivation on these cult groups. It's control
that they feel powerful. Or sex. Yeah.
Yeah. Sex. No, good. Very good point. And so I don't, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. There are a lot of good groups, societies, organizations that are out there, both on Facebook and off. But all we're saying is use your judgment. Make sure, like when I was a member of the Rotary Club, they did so much good in the community, And when I was in the Templars, we really do help people with our prayers. We don't charge. We don't ask, you can come or go. And there's so many different Knights of Columbus. They help widows and others in the church. They help anybody. But so there are a lot of good groups out there. Shriners do a lot of good work. And you can go on and on. The question always is, though, I kind of went away from social media and the paranormal. That's one of the problems, because everybody on the social media thinks they're an expert on the paranormal and science. God.
Yes.
And that is, I know it drives you crazy and it drives me crazy, but then somebody who knows nothing, a young person, reads the post or goes to the wall and believes it. And then you wonder where serious research is. Like, I believe I'm a serious paranormal researcher, why we can't get grants, why the academic people laugh at us and they think we're ridiculous. They go to a wall and there's somebody who says, I talk to the Galactic Council and I do this and that. And I can leap tall buildings in a single bound, you know, I mean, and then I talk to that same person and I'm already labeled as probably one of these nutsos, you know, that believe in it. Now, like you and I, we always said, if people have a claim, they should be able to prove it.
Yes.
Is that if I came up to you and said, you got $100, I can double or triple your money if you give it to me. Are you going to just give it to me? No, you're going to say, well, show me, prove it to me. How? You know, what's your track record?
Yeah, what are your references?
I'll do it to you for $50. How's that? Discount tonight.
You're going to do it to me for $50?
Oh, God. But you think I'm cheap, don't you? $50.
$50, wow.
Not a joke. You just made me forget it. I don't care. I was going to come back with a good one, and you kind of got me on that one. But
got to be fast.
I know what it was. I won't mention names. I know there are people that promote prosperity, right?
You know? Speaking of $50.
Yeah.
But we won't mention those people.
Well, there's one person I know. He would say, well, do these prayers and follow me and say this and whatever. And I never forgot it. At the end of the year, he said, well, I had a bad year. I didn't make much money, but I hope to have a better year next year. I swear he said that. And I thought, you know, like, are you going to go to a stockbroker that has a negative, you know, a record of making money for people? But, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, I'm a millionaire and I made it through this. And my first thought is, then why are you trying to sell me your class for a couple $100?
Hello.
You know, my father used to say to me, all these people want to make money for you. If they knew how to make money, wouldn't they be making it for themselves and not you? And a lot of truth to that, you know, and not to put down, bring that back to the media, paranormal and Facebook is that when you said magician, you know, cause I write books on magic. My question is, you got all these groups out there, these magical groups. I won't mention the names because everyone knows who all the groups are. And they do these, to me, it's play acting. Because what can they prove? Have they changed anything? Could they change the weather? Could they materialize things? Could they levitate? Could they heal? Could they do? None of them can, from what I've seen. There's no proof. I've challenged many of them. Now, if it's just fun and games and, you know, that's different, but I feel that they just don't know how to do magic. Now, there may be that 0.1%, and you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. of people that have some ability, whether mm-hmm. you want to call it magic, psychic ability, but usually they're not going to be on Facebook or advertising a product for, you know, $20 a month, in my opinion.
Or advertising that they have any kind of ability.
Yeah, 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 like the saints, the masters, they never went out and did that. They attracted followers because of the light or the energy they gave out. People knew that. So, mm-hmm. you know, I guess the point is, conclusion is, we want to be critical. We want to ask for proof and be objective. Now, certain things I know people said to me that are in the paranormal do not lend themselves to the scientific method, okay? You know, as a scientist, I want everything to be tested with the scientific method, but paranormal phenomena is not always repeatable. And mm-hmm. so you have to take that into account, but it could be statistically analyzed. So you tell me, you say you can read an Akashic record, let's say, right? And I have a lot of people used to tell me that. And I'm saying, well, I'm old enough. I got a pretty damn big Akashic record. Tell me something about myself that nobody else knows. And I've had that challenge out there for at least over 5 years on Facebook, and nobody has. So what good is claiming to read an Akashic record, and all you can tell me is the angels love me and I got this and that and I'm special? I mean, it makes me feel good, but I'd like to know, could you tell me what my grandma said before she died? Could you tell me what secret research projects I was in? Could you tell me what, you know, all I'm saying is, if you can read a record, you're saying there's a record of my whole life and you mm-hmm. can read it. Read one goddamn thing, you know? You don't have to tell me my whole life, one thing. And nobody could even do that. But I do believe if there is a record, there may be people that have that ability. I just haven't found them. Same with the psychic thing. I'd like people to do something that are psychic, to predict something or tell you something about yourself that'll make a difference, or I don't believe everyone is fake. They are very true, real McCoy psychics, and I feel Akashic record readers that I've worked with, but very few. And I believe they were the real McCoys. So I'm not throwing them all out, but I'm saying that you just need to be selective. Back to social media. How many psychics are on social media? How many people claim to do these?
You know how many I pick off a day? Like 20. I only have, let's see, on my profile, like there's a few that I know of because I've worked with them before. And that's the only reason why they're on my profile. And then there's the randos that are starting to show up where people are just randomly reading tarot cards for people. Oh, PayPal me this much and I'll read your tarot. It's like, okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's like playing Russian roulette with a magic book. It's like, what are you doing? You know, I can't knock you for trying to make a buck, but that makes all of us look like we come representing our trailer park.
I know it looks
cheap.
Yeah, I know you do a lot of readings for people for free, and you help people, and you're very dedicated, and you're good. And I would love to see more people like that. But you're right. When if I paid somebody $100 for a reading, and they gave me some specific things, I'd have no problem with that. I went to an expo once. I was walking down the hallway, and this lady said she does, you know, card reading. So I said, "All right, let's try it." So I sat down with her, and I don't know. I had two pairs, and she had a flush, and I lost $50. So next time I'm bringing my own cards. I think she had her tarot cards marked.
It's quite possible.
Remember James Bond movie with the lovers?
Yeah,
that was one of the funniest scenes, you know. For those, he went in to find this high priestess, and she used to read tarot cards, and he had a deck of all of the lovers and told her to pick one for them, and she picked the lovers, and then, you know, the next scene, and then he drops the card and they're all the lovers. I thought that was pretty good. But no, the thing is, and I work with the I Ching, and I'm not good at it, but I've had results, and I think, again, there's something to it. And I've had tarot readings that have been good. I've had psychic readings that have been good. I used to work with a lady from Salem in that area, and she was the real McCoy. I'd call her up on the phone and say, I have an object in my hand, and she would describe it and tell me about it. I do the research, and 90% of the time she would be right. She passed away. So I don't want people to think we're just condemning the whole area. We're not. We're saying that if you're going to make a claim, put your magic where your mouth is. How's that, you know?
Yeah. And make sure you wash it first before you put it in your mouth.
Okay. Maybe
never know where it's been.
You should have hosted the Golden Globes last night, I think. You know, it would have been funnier. That was really funny. I don't watch TV, but I saw the clips, you know, today, and I just laughed so hard. But nice. Again, you threw me off. So the idea of the paranormal and social media one could be very helpful, because I get a lot of questions from people about my books, about magic, about the paranormal, and I feel I can help them, because one is. You know me, I don't push my books. I never do. I never have. Well, I have sometimes in the past when I started, but I want to help people, and I don't mind giving them general advice. I mean, I don't know people individually that write to me, but if it's a general question, you know, and a lot of people just want to be assured, you know, and my first thing to them always is like, test the spirits, look for evidence, proof. Ask the questions, whether it's joining a group, making a friend, accepting somebody on Facebook. You know how many nightmare stories I've had of people meeting on Facebook, and then when they met in person, it was somebody totally different, and they may have had a criminal record.
It just gets worse from there. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm actually a Russian spy, but, you know. I should run for president, right? Because I think every Democratic candidate has been accused of being a Russian spy.
Nice.
Probably a Republican one too, anyway.
But. And my stripper name's Cinnamon.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I got to admit, though, I sometimes do talk to the spirits, but when I'm done, I always drink them.
And then you're cut off?
Yep. And I do sometimes travel on the astral plane, but I always go first class.
Well, then. Aren't you spatial?
Yeah, okay. So, what do you want to add? Now that we insulted every psychic Akashic record reader.
We haven't insulted them. You didn't let me.
Well, I have.
You didn't let me. Because you're afraid I'm going to offend everybody. But it's not that we're trying to offend people. It's the fact that we'd like to see a little more proof before. Exactly. And this is not a tossing of the, oh, cross this line or show me the proof or whatever. This is a, what are you doing? It's like, why would you go out of your way to say that you can do something that you ultimately can't and get a whole bunch of people to think that you can do that thing? And then when it comes time to doing the thing, you're nowhere to be found because obviously you can't do the thing.
Exactly. You got that was one of the best examples. Exactly. You know, all the claims and then no proof. And they feel like, say, they're not there, or there may be an excuse say they mm-hmm. why they can't do it. One damn thing. That's all I ask for sometimes. And I can't even get that. So, now if you're doing it for fun, you know, if you're in a magic group and it's social and it's fun and you want to do rituals,
pull hats out of rabbits.
Yeah. One of the problems people don't realize, most of the magic doesn't work today because the magic that worked 500 years ago, the astral plane has changed and it's different. Like in the physical world, you know, things change over time, but the astral plane time changes faster. So remember, I used to be a follower of Meher Baba, the Indian master, and he would say that it's harder to meditate in the modern times because the astral plane is more noisy. It's more confused, where if you meditated 500 years ago, it was a lot easier. And magic is like that. In fact, I know this is going to sound bizarre until I come out with it, but I'm actually trying to work on specific equations and variables that affect magic and why it has changed. And if you can work those into your rituals, mm-hmm. you may have a greater success of actually doing magic. But you realize magic, one of the early books, Henry Cornelius Agrippa, I always quoted him in my magic books. He said, magic is a higher thing to find God, to become mm-hmm. spiritual. It was never to get things or to be selfish. Magic initially was the language to talk to God, to reach that cosmic consciousness, to use for good. And so, like anything, things could be used for good or bad or good or evil. Right. And maybe people are trying to use magic for evil. One of the examples I kind of give, too, is that you got to know, to do successful magic, you got to know what the laws are on the astral plane, because that's where the magic usually works. It travels, whatever. Yeah, you know, that's an arbitrary name, you know, etheric, mm-hmm. astral. But the thing is, like, in our world, and I know you know this, but like in physics, because I'm a physicist, biophysicist, opposites attract and likes repel, right? Like at a bar mm-hmm. mat. On the astral plane, it's just the opposites. Likes attract and opposites repel. And that you have to know in order to carry out a successful magical ritual. Right. And you know what? When people, and it's so simple, when people say, curses always come back to you. You've heard that many times, right? If you do a curse on someone, it usually comes back to you threefold, you mm-hmm. know? And that's nothing to do with the judgment of God or karma or any of this stuff. It's purely the law of the astral plane. And I won't go into it, but if you're negative and you send out a negative curse and the other person is positive or neutral, it's going to come back because likes attract. You're negative and the curse is negative. So that's why they don't work. Now, there's ways of getting around that, which I wouldn't talk about because I don't want people to know. But so mm-hmm. I would say 90% of people that claim to do curses do not know these laws. And I also was trying to work out some mathematics of this. Where my cutting edge in this area, I think I'm trying to do is try to take a statement in the metaphysics that I believe is true and mm-hmm. substantiate it with mathematics or some model, like the multi-universe model. Mm-hmm. And I'm way far from doing that. But that is my goal. I hope some of my students and others, you know, will continue with that work, you know, and try mm-hmm. to try to maybe discover what I couldn't do. So, right. The show's almost over. We really go so quickly, you know. Why don't you put your two cents in? I've been kind of hogging, you know. I'm sitting on something here. Oops, I just knocked over my water.
Well, you're not wrong. I mean, the whole thing with learning magic and the different kinds of magic, and we're not talking like the amazing Kreskin or Blackstone the magician. We're talking like John Dee and things yes. like things of that sort. We're talking about higher magic forms. And if you're just going to crack a book and see what you're going to do, you're taking a lot into your hands. Now, what we're trying to say is that learning and reading more than one book and not exactly Googling or going to Wikipedia as soon as you find something you want to run with, find somebody to mentor or whatever. Find somebody that knows. Find a group that's worth its salt. Exactly. There are a few.
They are.
There's not a bunch, but there are a select few. But just keep your eyes open and be wary of complete Bravo Sierra junk. I mean, yep. if it looks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's usually, I don't know, a duck.
Well, you know, you said something important also. Maybe not every group is meant for every person. A group that you're in is meant for you and not for me, and a group I'm in is meant for me. And, you know, like I'm meant to be in the mafia and you're not. Oh, just joking. Did you get that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Which brings Golden Globes. Did you see The Irishman? You told me to watch it, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it, and I thought it was really a wonderful movie. What did you think?
I thought it was really well done, and considering it was Scorsese, and the way it was shot and the way it was laid out, it was well watchable considering how long you had to sit there to watch the movie. He did a lot to make sure it remained informative and entertaining.
Oh, I like Joe Pesci too. He's just great.
Yeah, and Joe Pesci's great.
I'll tell you this story next time, but I had a meeting with one of Jimmy Hoffa's lawyer in an elevator, the Teamsters building. I was actually a Teamster at one time. and I asked him what I looked like, and he said I'd look like a dentist. That's what Jimmy Hoffa's lawyer said to me. I was so insulted. Unless that's some kind of secret mafia term for like a hitman or something. I don't know. Or maybe he really thought it. Do I look like a dentist?
I don't know. What do dentists look like?
My partner was with me. He said, you look like a lawyer. So I thought, oh, that's cool. What do I look like? You look like a dentist. Well, damn it. So. But anyway, so I did know Jimmy Hoffa's lawyer. That's when I was a little kid, a little runner. And actually, I said three people in the movie I've either have met, had dinner with, or had a meeting with. And I knew a lot of different people. But I thought a lot of it, again, was fantasy. We don't know how Jimmy Hoffa died either, you know. And some people think he could still be alive, which I doubt. But I guess they wanted to end it. And you mentioned about the book. I never read the book, but it's something I'd like to see. But again, that's another good example. How many people who have seen that movie apply to our show tonight on paranormal and social media believe Jimmy Hoffa was killed like that? But we don't know. That's totally subjective.
Yeah, that's completely, totally subjective.
Yeah. But I got to say, though, you know, I feel I've helped a lot of people on Facebook. I don't say it to brag, but I mean, I wouldn't be on it because it takes a lot of my time and I enjoy it. Other people do the same thing. And again, too, it's a teaching medium. I like to teach certain topics. I like to teach like a lot of stuff in physics. The problem is most people use terms in physics in the new age movement, like entropy and a quantum and whatever, and they, and even wavelength and vibration, they don't even know what a simple equation is for wavelength and frequency or Maxwell's equations. And not that you have to really know all that to totally understand it, but they don't know what the electromagnetic spectrum is, and they don't know what quantum physics is, string.
Right.
And again, you don't have to be, you know, an Ed Witten, you know, or Brian Greene, but know the basis, like you say. Yeah. You know, don't just read Wikipedia. Know the basis. But yeah, they string these words together to sound impressive, and that really bugs me as a physicist, and because it's really nonsense. So, when people ask me what book should I read, recommend a book, a magic book, or this or that, I tell them read a physics 101 textbook. 90% of the time,
I think I still have one somewhere.
Yeah, but you don't have to get a calculus-based one. But what I guess I'm saying is read a science book to get a good background, and you can apply the paranormal. So, you know, before we run out of time, I think this is an important show, because we really, not trying to warn people, but say to people, anybody can make a claim. Anybody can make statements, but you want to back them up with some type of proof or some type of you said that very distinctly, and you know, you and I see eye to eye with that. But that, so that doesn't mean don't join a group, don't do have to do a Facebook, but just be selective. And like you say, picking your friends. I accept a lot of friends, but I only talk to people who I know are real, and I can find that out. Not everyone can, but I will not have a, you know, I mean, if somebody writes to me and said, I read this in your book and you explained it to me, I'll answer it. But if somebody wanted to be a friend of mine and have a conversation, I'll check there right away, make sure they're real and who they are, because I figure, hey, would you invite somebody into your house to talk that you didn't know their real name and who they were? Facebook is almost like that today. It's really inviting people into your emotions, your heart, and people get hurt. So I hope, you know, this was helpful. You know, we had some fun talking about it, and you can find groups out there that are really great. You can have fun with. I like the Sicilian Italian group because they have great, funny, you know, memes and stuff. You know, so I mean, you know, everyone is. Some people have high school groups. You know, they and whatever. So, what do you want to add? Getting running. How much time we have? A couple minutes, I guess.
No, like a minute. So yeah, I don't really have a lot to add except for you hit the nail on the head. It's just be wary of everything. And if it seems too good to be true, normally is. So just do your homework, know who you're talking to, know what you're dealing with and all of that. And know that you can trust it and stuff like that. And don't make up excuses for people. Make sure that those people are solid.
No. And it's, sometimes it's hard to do, but you know, today it's not that hard to actually do some kind of checking out on the people. You know, you don't want to spend a lot of money, but if you got to the point and you felt you were getting serious with somebody or friendship, it's worth making sure, you know who you're dealing with and they're real and they, you know what their background is. And, but so the other thing for me is, let me just say for me is I'm more concerned with the credibility of the paranormal because I like be able to get grants. I want to do research. I want to publish papers. I want to go to colleges. I spoke at colleges all across the country on the Shroud of Turin. I would love to do that with the paranormal, but they probably wouldn't even have me in the doors if I told them I was going to talk about magic and the paranormal because they look and see this crap on Facebook. So it's really hurting serious researchers. And I think ufology has had that years ago and they're getting much better now in ufology. They're getting really good people into it. Joe Montaldo has one of the best ufology websites. What is it? Icar.com?
Icar.
I mean, I 100% recommend it, but I mean, we get credible people, scientists, researchers, and even the ghost hunters, you know, they're using equipment. I question some of the way that stuff works, but, and we need that in our area. So, I didn't mean to be, prolong the point, but, maybe I'll have you do anything else you can do. Maybe the final credits. Let me just say to everyone, I thank you for listening to us on 107.7 FM. And, I love doing the show. I hope you learned something from it. You know, we're not always right. It's our opinion, our speculation. I was going to say it's for entertainment purposes only, right? That's the big disclaimer these days, but but hopefully it does help you and it gives you some guidance and maybe some comfort, and know that there are people that do care. You just got to make sure you find the right ones and don't block everyone out of your life, because there are people that do want to help. And thank you, Seraphine, again for being my co-host. And
thank you really for having me. It.
And then Joe Montalvo, the station owner, and all he does for everybody on the network. And make sure you check out Talk Radio. I'm doing your ending term. Go, you finish it up. God bless everyone, and we'll see you next Monday. You do the credits.
You well,
do
thank better than I do. You for listening. Early evenings at 5 p.m. Central Time for 1 hour of paranormal interestingness. And we're here at UPRN talkradio.com, also known on YouTube Live at United Public Radio Network at YouTube. So you can go ahead and find us there. You can find John DeSalvo on social media, as well as myself, Seraphine Hurley. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. We do enjoy your listenership. We love you. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next Monday.
God bless you all. I send you blessings. Good night.
This is Matt Siraj, fourth generation owner of Community Coffee. My great-grandfather named it Community just out of appreciation and respect for his friends and neighbors. And for 100 years, our family has been about two things: great tasting coffee and great people. And as America's number one family-owned retail coffee brand, we believe it's our responsibility to continue to give them the best tasting coffee experience possible. And it's why we're excited for you to discover your new favorite blend. Look for Community Coffee at a store near you